Periander 4, The Conclusion. The census taker's personal entries noted the morning of the 4th of July, the birthday of our nation, and reported that he had risen late, had slept poorly because of humidity in a stuffy room. He said he felt a storm impending as he stepped off the trolley and walked along the roadway. And entering the gate to the home, he felt a premonition. The old soldier would be 100 years old and had expressed his belief that this would be his last day alive. It was not a rational idea, but perhaps the anxiety was naturally elicited, feeling how oppressive was the air. A cast of nearly white humidity blanched the sky, overhanging like a vaguely ominous presence. When will it fall? The census taker wrote rhetorically. This portion of shorthand was evidently written after the encounter, not simultaneous to it, for it contained self-conscious reflection and expressed more personal feelings than what had otherwise seemed a factual account. The census taker recorded that he found the old soldier in his bed, alone in the ward. He had not gotten up that morning. He had the look of a small animal, undressed as he was, balled up as he lay abed. He sat beside him and was seen. The old man drew short, rapid breaths. The census taker looked for the matron, but she was nowhere to be seen. The other beds in the row in the ward were empty, made up, clean sheets. The census taker expressed his apprehension, expecting the old man to die at any moment. The shorthand record thus concluded. Sky is darkening, certain it will rain soon. He gulps air, and I think he has lost his life for a moment, but his eyes glitter. He smiles ironically. He shakes all over from weakness as he tries to sit himself up, and I stand up and help him, putting his pillows up behind him against the bed frame, taking other pillows from other beds to add to his for support and comfort. He asked for water, and I found a pitcher and glass at a nightstand at another bed and brought it over for him to have a drink. The water spilled on him as his hands shook. He only sipped a little, wet his lips. He finished his story then. It surprises me when he speaks. He feared they would come get him, and I do not know that he feared hanging or losing what he had or what he feared. I don't know what he was afraid of. Fact is, he was not looking afraid. I was with him when he sent for two men. I did not know, never seen them before. I don't know that he knew them. I think he did not. He told me to talk to them while he sat apart with his back to us, eating a chicken dinner. He told me to tell them he was expecting an enemy. He told me to tell them how they should lie in wait, where to go, where to hide, and how to kill the man, and then what they should do. He told me to tell them he knew certain that he was a bad man and deserved the death he had coming to him. He laughed when they had gone, and then he sent for four more men. These men both he and I knew, and he told them that the two men that just left were bad men with murder in their hearts and were going to set out for and murder a man he was expecting, a good man and a man he needed. They should try to follow him, but he wasn't sure where they were going, and he set them by a roundabout way and a misdirection to find them only after searching where they weren't. Major laughed when they had gone, and he said to me, You might be king as any man, but I'm guessing you won't. And he said to me, here, you take it. The old soldier sat up with effort and looked at me with earnest intensity. What he confides, he confesses like a sin. Major shoves a talisman into my hands. The old soldier told me with a distressed look of something like sorrow and terror mixed in one awful bitter drink. A wind comes up sudden just then, swirls about the room and slams a shutter. He looks at the noise, he hesitates, looking for the ghosts. He looks back at me and lets himself lie back and finishes. Major set out to meet the first murderers, and they do him in, I guess. For I never seen him again, and like he had told them, they bury him somewhere hid. And then along come the four, and they murder the first two, and bury them somewhere hid. And by the time they got back, I was gone too. The old soldier sighs. Choosing your death is a bravery I cannot do, I think. So I got to say, Major is a better man than me. He stopped talking then. He had looked at the bedding in front of him, his spindly legs under it, and I saw him trying to do something, digging into the bedding with his palsied hand. I stood up and asked if I could help, and he shook his head and seemed out of breath, and he took out from under the sheet the talisman and shoved it into my hands and died. Just then, a thunderclap and an instant lightning struck. The room went completely out of sight, and I felt the blow to my chest like it had been pounded by a hammer. The old man was gone and nothing to be done. I looked for the matron, but she was tending to the old men on the porches, gathering them up and getting them out of the rainstorm that now poured down, the wind whipping it all over the porch and onto them and knocking over chairs. I left in the storm. The rain soon drenched me. I went to the trolley station, but on the way I stopped to look at the creek and the falls, which the storm had swollen, and roared over the edges of the quarry into which it plunged and frothed and churned among the rocks below. Everything green around the falls was wet and looked emerald again. I stood looking at it, feeling the talisman in my pocket. These are the substantial contents of that bundle of notes left by the census taker. Nothing more is known about him or about the old soldier, so far has been discovered to date. The identity of the census taker is certainly not to be found in the contents of the shoebox, which was presumably, though not certainly, left by him in the cage above the Union Gospel Mission. Perhaps if I search the databases of the Federal Records Center at Fort Snelling, I might ascertain his name. He was presumably employed there in 1900, and perhaps his assignment to the Minnesota Soldier Home is recorded. Certainly the original papers of his census report are housed in the archives at Fort Snelling, and they should bear his signature. That is something I shall try next year. For the present, all that I know is what my father told me before he died. That, and such inferences as may be made from the contents of the shoebox, which my grandfather found when they destroyed the Union Gospel Mission in 1961. The talisman, whatever it was, is missing from the box. And I did not have the opportunity to ask my father about it before he died. The traffic to the hospital was stalled by a thunderstorm the day that he died. The rain sheeted like a waterfall on the windshield, and you could not drive in it. You had to pull over. By the time I got to the hospital, he was gone. The nurse said he sat up when a thunderclap startled him, then laid back and just quietly died. He said nothing, as she recalled. She said he had told her to give me the shoebox and his pocket watch. The pocket watch had stopped, and I could not get it to start, I'm sorry to say. He loved that watch and had it for as long as I can remember. That was all last summer. Tomorrow will begin a new year and a new millennium. I intend to take the pocket watch to the jeweler and ask him to repair it.
Rescue.